the production of All Roads Ministries. Its title is, Why Does It Still Exist? The question, which is contained in this title, is referring to Protestantism. If this is the first tape you've obtained from All Roads Ministries, understand that the thrust of All Roads Ministries, its goal, its purpose, its reason for being, is the unification of Christianity as it once was unified shortly after the death of Jesus and when the church was originally founded. One of the ways that All Roads Ministries attempts to do this is by pointing out the self-contradictory nature of Protestantism, the problems with its doctrines, its approaches, its philosophies, its culture, so to speak, its entire lifestyle, and pointing out that, number one, it is a house divided against itself. Namely, that every Protestant doctrine refutes itself or another major Protestant doctrine, and that Protestantism is, in essence, anti-Christian. This is contained in a series of tapes which All Roads Ministries puts out, and in these tapes, these various different doctrines or backgrounds or expose, if you would allow that term, of Protestantism is done in detail dealing with specific issues. So, I would suppose that logically the question would come up, if Protestantism is so bad as All Roads Ministries holds that it is, why then does it still exist? Why does it have adherents? Why are there people who claim to be Protestants? And why do they advocate the system? How can they continue to let it be a function in to allow it to function in their life as an actual determining factor as to what they say, what they do, what they believe, and how they behave in life? Well, that is a very basic question, and that is the question which this tape shall answer. Before we give the first of our series of answers on why Protestantism still exists, allow me to point out something which you may not yet be aware of. And this is to give you a little bit of the background of the nature of Protestantism from an historical and political perspective. Protestantism came into existence in roughly the year 1517 AD with the revolt of, at least spearheaded, if not actually led by Martin Luther against the Roman Catholic Church. It is true, as Protestants will frequently point out, that there were, prior to Martin Luther, various different heretics who taught some of the things that Protestants later came to claim they believed. In other words, if one searches through history, one can find various different perverted beliefs that later became incorporated in Protestantism. And at this time, allow me to say that when I say Protestantism here, I see no distinction in Protestantism between the mainline, the fundamentalist, the evangelical, or the charismatic movements. They are all united in their basic belief, because Protestantism is not a thing, but an anti-thing. And the basic belief of Protestantism is that the Catholic Church is wrong. It is this alone which gives Protestantism its nature and its identity, mainly its opposition to something else. Protestantism is not affirmative in nature, it is negative in nature. And this may be, although I'm digressing slightly, one of the reasons for its existence. It is always much easier to destroy. It is always much easier to oppose. It is always much easier to deny. It is always much easier to reject, because to do so requires no effort, merely an act of will. The cranky little boy who, because the toy will not function the way it's supposed to, takes it and smashes it, is in very real sense the Protestant personality unable to justify his belief system by scripture, by reason, by history, by philosophy, or by the internal light inside of him, by his conscience, or by any other method that humans use to justify belief systems, the Protestant simply falls back on his ultimate existentialism, which is to say, I choose not to be a Catholic. But more on why this occurs later, and allow me to return to the major point which I am trying to make at this time. Protestantism, as we know it, came about in the 1520s AD, starting primarily in Germany. And since that time, Protestantism has become a significant force, that is to say, one could call certain countries or nations or peoples Protestant in certain specific areas of the world. Those specific areas are, essentially, parts of Western Europe, such as Scandinavia, Great Britain, parts of Germany, and in significant parts of the United States, also the Union of South Africa. There are little enclaves here and there of Protestantism throughout the world. They are primarily places where the Western Europeans who were Protestants settled and imposed their religion upon the natives, or colonists came over from the mother country bringing their mother religion with them. Now, the key word here so far was imposed. The reason that the former heresies, which occasionally are reflected in Protestantism, never took root before Protestantism, that is to say, the reason why the Donatists and the other fallen away heretics are now footnotes in encyclopedias and are trivia questions for historians and not living movements, is a very simple one. And it is this key difference between those former movements which flourished for a while and died, and the movement of Protestantism which is existing today, which is the key understanding that one must have to understand Protestantism. The reason that Protestantism exists today, and those heresies do not, is that Protestantism used political force, and only political force, to spread its beliefs. In other words, Protestantism took root in those countries where it was able to capture the king, the prince, the government, and enforce its decrees by the power of the sword, the gun, and the hangman's noose. In other words, there has never been a place, nor, I could speculate, never will there be a place, which has voluntarily become predominantly Protestant. In other words, when presented with the choice between the Roman Catholic Church and the Protestant Church, the only cases where the Protestant Church triumphed is where Protestantism was enforced at the threat of death or severe political penalty. In other words, Protestantism triumphed only because it used the sword or exterminated its enemies. This may seem somewhat shocking to those who have never bothered to study history, but one will find out that the reason that Luther remained free all of his life, while John Huss went to the stake, is that Luther defied the Church of Rome, and the political environment of Germany at the time was such that there were military forces which, seeing monetary and political advances in opposing the Church of Rome and in having a new so-called religion which would slavishly worship the state, very similar to a Nazi-type belief that the state is God, they could see an advantage in this, and therefore, by the power of their military force, supported this religion. This is in stark contrast to the Roman Catholic religion, which was established not because of military power, but despite it. The Roman Catholic religion was established despite the most powerful military force which history had ever known up until that time, mainly the Roman Empire, attempting to exterminate it. At no time did the Roman Catholics resort to force or even to resistance. They passively suffered martyrdom. The earliest leaders of the Roman Catholic Church, that is to say, the popes, for approximately the first 2.5 centuries, all suffered martyrdom. It is an interesting point that none of the leaders of Protestantism ever suffered martyrdom, or as a matter of fact, none of them ever were even politically or personally in much great danger. This is because they immediately consolidated their political beliefs with their military beliefs, with their religious beliefs. In other words, they took the Bible and wrapped it around a sword. They held the sword to a person's throat, convert or die. Many did die, but to the shame of those who lived, they betrayed Jesus and became Protestants. The clearest example of this, of course, is Henry VIII, and almost everyone is familiar with the heroic stand of Thomas More and Archbishop John Fisher, how they defied the political authority of the state rather than compromise their loyalty to Jesus. So this is the reason why Protestantism exists, or it is one of the reasons. It is established and maintained by the sword. Even today, there are state religions in those areas which are primarily Protestant, or at least nominally Protestant, which are maintained literally by the police power of the state. To this day in England, a Catholic cannot be king. And the political Lutheran states of Scandinavia, Norway, and Denmark, and I believe Iceland, continue to support the state religion by forcible taxation from the populace in general. In other words, it does not matter whether one supports this religion, whether one desires to support this religion, the power of the state supports the religion in one form or another. Therefore, the country finds it with a religion imposed upon it without its choice. And of course, unfortunately, human beings being what they are, in order to gain political and social advantage, many will formally bow the knee to this new religion, which in their hearts and minds they know is incorrect. This is the first reason why Protestantism still exists. The second one is related to it. One certainly cannot say that in the United States, a government enforces the existence of Protestantism and enforces the acknowledgement of it. No police round up people forcing them to go to church, as was done in England, subjecting those who did not want to go to a severe fine. No, this is not the case in America. But in America, understand that in each so-called Protestant church, and by this I mean congregation, there is, by definition, a vested interest that exists which desires to keep this congregation going. After all, the congregation now has a pastor, frequently a pastor's wife, a pastor's children, board of directors, an organist, a music director, a Sunday school teacher, assistant Sunday school teachers, deacons, elders, assistant pastors, youth group members, and people who sell things to this congregation, and, as well as that, gardeners, plumbers, and every group whatsoever that this congregation has some contact with in an economic fashion now has a vested interest in keeping this institution going. By the same token, Protestant congregations, since they do not teach any real religion in any true sense of the word, provide very useful social contacts and functions. In other words, the Protestant congregation can provide access for the youth group. They could sponsor a Boys Club or a Boy Scout pact. They could also provide access to the elderly, the poor. They can provide a bus service to its members. They can have what is frequently called shepherding concepts, which are essentially private forms of charity run within the congregation. All of these things are quite good socially. And what they do is reinforce by supplying what is lacking in the theology. In other words, they give the Protestant congregation 100 reasons to exist when its first reason does not exist, mainly the teaching and the spreading and the practicing of Christianity. There are, of course, 1,000 organizations which out this concept of Christianity. There are the Elks, there are the Lions Clubs, there are Chambers of Commerce. These exist throughout the country. There are the JCs, there are women's clubs. There are also simple businesses. There are also non-denominational charities. All of these organizations exist without having any direct relation to the Jesus who died on the cross. Therefore, as they exist, so can Protestantism exist. The Protestant congregation and the Protestant pastor learned early in his theology studies that his church teaches nothing, supplies nothing, and cannot rely on God for support. Therefore, they branch into these other areas. This is one of the reasons why, interestingly enough, although Protestants have frequently accused Catholics of being too ritualistic and too heavy and too significant on the, quote, overwhelming ceremonies, in recent years we have seen Protestants doing exactly this. Their music has become not just accompaniment, but frequently the centerpiece, the key of the entire religious ceremony. They introduce orchestras. Many of the people become involved in the choir, so that in some congregations, the choir sometimes outnumbers the people sitting in the pews. This is an interesting point, too, on why Protestantism exists. Since there are, in essence, no qualifications to become a teacher, no qualifications to become a pastor, this is because Protestants believe that all men are inherently sinful and corrupt and horrible, and therefore holiness is not to be desired because it cannot be achieved, and therefore the pastor and the so-called Protestant clergy should be no more or no less corrupt than everyone else. And the second reason is, because of the Protestant denial of truth and infallibility, there is no way to determine who knows what in Protestantism. With these two factors in mind, number one, the denial of holiness, and number two, the denial of truth and learning, it becomes very easy to become a pastor in a Protestant denomination. After all one has to do is ape what is said by one's teachers, repeat what he says, and one will graduate. There is no call to digest in one's conscience and to submit to an eternal truth. There is no call even to learn anything. After all, Protestants believe by definition in private interpretation of Scripture. So, therefore, one may become a Bible study session leader very simply in Protestantism. And the smart pastor knows that he never discourages anyone from commenting in these study groups or in these sessions, no matter how ridiculous the statement may be. After all, who is a Protestant to judge another Protestant when everybody is a priest, as under this concept of the universal priesthood, and no one can know the truth on this earth because of the corrupt state of man's mind? Therefore, Protestantism literally allows a stupid person to appear to be smart. Or, to put it another way, it allows a stupid person to hide his stupidity in a system in which nothing resembling intelligence can be or should be rewarded. Now, by definition, the intelligent people will always be a minority. And the below average or average intelligence, by definition, will always be a majority. If these majority people can find a place where, no matter what they say, no matter how silly, no matter how ridiculous, they will always be welcome, that is, as long as they continue contributing pretty much every Sunday, then this temptation to find an organization which is socially acceptable and which approves of a person, no matter how ridiculous he is, no matter how little scholarship he does, no matter how lazy he is in research, and no matter how ignorant he is on basic facts, well, then this is a great temptation to bring certain people in. And you will find, if you have any contact with actual Protestant denominations, that the level of research and scholarship and intelligence dealing with anything to do with a religious matter or a related matter, such as history or philosophy, is of an abysmally low level. So this is another reason why Protestantism exists. It's a place where the failures of life, failures either due to lack of ability or lack of incentive or lack of energy or lack of fortitude or lack of temperance, can find a place where their failures are not only overlooked, but in a certain sense applauded. Because after all, the Protestant system is that everybody is evil, everybody is wrong, and nobody knows what is right. After all, private interpretation of Scripture means that the book upon which their system is based can be known in any way that any man says it is. So therefore, this is one of the more basic reasons why Protestantism exists. Another is, which is sort of related to this, is that as Protestantism has no consistent set of morality or beliefs, one may find a church that reinforces one's own personal prejudices in Protestantism. In other words, Protestantism is the ultimate sign of the original sin acting in today's society or in today's culture or today's history. The original sin was that Adam and Eve desired to be like God. They wished to make their own rules, their own reality, their own morality, their own set of creation. All of us, unfortunately, at one time or another, are tempted by either pride or the devil into believing that we have some type of special insight. In other words, we are tempted into believing that we are especially smart, especially insightful, especially wise. Now, in the real world, reality crushes this when we are not in conformity with reality. The man who believes that he has the better product, the better invention, the better service, finds out relatively quickly by the amount of customers he attracts whether he really does or not. The bottom line, the profit and loss statement in his business determines how good he is. The young man who thinks he's a great athlete finds out very soon by competing with other young men whether he really is or whether he really isn't. And the young girl who thinks that she is the greatest performer in the world finds out very soon after attending a few auditions whether she truly has talent or not. But Protestantism prevents one from facing this ultimate reality and facing one's ultimate estimate and evaluation of what one's talents really are. After all, if one wants to believe that God predestined all of us to go to hell, or all of us to go to heaven, one can find a Protestant denomination where one can believe this. As a matter of fact, one can probably believe it in any Protestant denomination and remain a person in good standing in that denomination, because, as they will often say, after all, no man is infallible. So who am I to say that you are wrong on this particular issue, Brother Williams? So therefore, one can find that in one case, this particular denomination both forbids and allows women ministers. This particular denomination both forbids and allows abortions. Sometimes particular congregations are split on issues like this without any attempted resolution. So therefore, one can find the absolute comfort of having one's own prejudices, no matter how evil, no matter how selfish, no matter how ridiculous, no matter how anti-Christian, reinforced by a social group that the culture in general considers good. Which is another point why Protestantism exists. Protestantism exists because the culture in the United States, because of the sloppy use of the English language, defines church in such a broad term that it means almost anything. Almost any group of people who meet for almost any purpose, as long as the word God comes in somewhere. Therefore, belonging to a church is a socially approved act. Certainly socially approved for those who are in the higher service categories, such as those who sell services, insurance, banking, real estate, etc. It is quite beneficial for these people to be a member of a church. Therefore, they can pick a church which will not impose anything on them. No problem with morality. No problem with sticky, difficult beliefs. No problem with a submission to an authority which reflects the will of God. No problem with having to do this or avoid that. No, he can join a church that allows him to believe what he wants and call it faith, do what he wants and call it right, reflect his own prejudice and call it truth, throw it in the face of a God who somehow is accepting this, and then demand entrance into heaven, which of course is sort of the best working definition of Protestantism I ever heard. So therefore, Protestantism exists because in the United States today, and in other countries, it is fashionable to belong to a church. And we always, when we can, seek fashion that is the least painful for us. This does not mean to say that one sometimes does not suffer while being fashionable. But fashion is one of those forces whose true strength has never been fully gauged. And fashion is something that makes most people do almost anything. So, it is fashionable to belong to a church. And because the United States was founded by anti-Catholic bigots, and this reflection of anti-Catholic bigotry, or anti-God bigotry, has been part of the United States since the very beginning, the fashion is still to be a Protestant, that is, to rather than to be a Christian. For those of you who find this statement rather extreme, allow me a slight digression on the concept of fashion and style. Fashion and style have probably been the most influential factors in human behavior since the beginning of time. If I may give some rather recent examples. During World War I, it was considered quite fashionable by British infantry officers to wear white gloves and carry swagger sticks when they went over the top. That is, when they left their trenches in order to lead futile attacks against the entrenched German positions and enter into no man's land. The white gloves, of course, would signify and identify them as officers, making them easy targets. And of course, they would carry no weapons whatsoever. But they died in large numbers, unquestioningly and willingly, in order to follow the fashions of the times. It has been a fashion or style, or perhaps even a basic instinct, for men throughout the ages to protect women in times of warfare. And there have been many cultures, many nations, that no longer exist because they refuse to let their women use weapons in times of war. In other words, they cease to exist simply following a certain style. And for anyone who is either a woman or has ever known a woman, we know that women will do the most ridiculous things following a style. They will put their feet into shoes that are far too small, wear clothing that restricts their movement, sometimes even to the point of injury and ill health. But yet they will follow the style. And the point is, if you think about this for a moment, reason it through, and study history, you'll find out that absolutely style has been a massive, massive factor. Fortunately for the Protestants, it is still stylish in America to be, as much as one can, a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. And if you can't get the white or the Anglo-Saxon or any of the others exactly right, you can always still get the Protestant down, because that is the easiest thing to achieve. Side 2, why does it still exist, dealing with Protestantism, All Road Ministry tape. There's another, far more savage reason why Protestantism exists, and that is because of support by demonic forces. It is clearly established by force of absolute logical necessity that at least some of the elements of Protestantism are purely demonic. For example, the whole concept of the born-again experience, by which individuals in Protestantism, or sometimes entire sects, cults, or subdivisions of denominations, claim to be inspired by a spirit which they identify, at least nominally, to be God, and yet, at the same time, advocate things which are totally anti-Christian, such as total denial of absolute truth, total denial of morality, total denial of the laws of salvation, total denial of man's responsibility, total denial of sin as having a factor on salvation, and, what I usually find most characteristic, denial of the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother. If you have seen some of these people attempt to explain some of these issues, you will, if they are honest, get the admission that clearly some of these people are cooperating with demons, if not actually in a certain form or another possessed. Or their form of hysteria, when the acknowledgement comes that there is a activity here which is unholy, betrays the fact that they understand exactly what they're doing, or at least have come to the realization of the acknowledgement of the unholy support that their denominations have. It is, in my personal opinion, predicted in the book of Revelations that the ultimate conflict at the end will come down to be between the dragon, representing Satan, and the woman, representing the Blessed Mother. And, as is outlined clearly in two tapes available from this ministry, Our Lady's Central Role and The Virginity of the Blessed Mother, The Perpetual Virginity of the Blessed Mother, the doctrine of the virginity of the Blessed Mother is a basic Christian doctrine, absolutely central to clear Christian understanding, to scriptural interpretation, and to adherence to the love and honoration of Christ. It is essential to the concept of the Incarnation. Opposition to this, which is not merely nominal, but vigorous in Protestant denominations, reflects the fact that in Protestant denominations, demonism, that is support by Satan, is extremely strong. If anyone wishes further proof of this, I would suggest that he obtain the tape available from this ministry dealing with Martin Luther, in which Martin Luther says, and I paraphrase, that good works ought to be more fled from than sin. And that the devil, according to Martin Luther's own words, approved of Martin Luther's work. Now, the basic concepts here are that Protestantism rejects good works. Protestantism rejects truth. Protestantism rejects the fact that Jesus founded a church that cannot fail. Protestantism rejects the role of the Blessed Mother. Protestantism rejects the office of the Pope. Protestantism rejects the truth of Scripture. Protestantism rejects the necessity of forgiveness. Protestantism rejects the nature of sin. Protestantism rejects the nature of faith as being doctrinally based, unchanging, unchangeable, immutable. Who else rejects all these things? Satan. So therefore, one of the reasons why Protestantism exists is because Satan sustains it. In other words, if you understand Protestantism as it is, a simple denial of the truth of Catholicism without any reasonable or viable or understandable alternative to take its place. In other words, if you understand it the way it is, as a negation, as an opposition, as an opposing factor, then you understand also the nature of Satan, who does not, in a certain sense, choose evil so much as he simply rejects God. Whatever God does, Satan opposes it, becoming automatically evil. Whatever the Roman Catholic Church does, Protestantism rejects it, simply because it is Roman Catholic. There is an expression in Protestantism used by Protestants when they church hop, which is a very interesting point, because when Protestants move from one area to another, they do not usually consider themselves bound to their previous denomination. So they search for a church which is most convenient, usually by parking or time of service or architecture. And the expression they use is, I'm looking for anything but a Catholic church. I'll be anything but a Catholic. It's an interesting point, because the truths of Christianity are contained in Roman Catholicism, which is clear and established by, among other things, tapes available from this organization, Roman Catholic Proofs, tapes 1 and 2. Therefore, in the same sense that Satan opposes God simply because Satan's choice is to be evil, Protestantism opposes the Roman Catholic Church, which is the voice and the living presence of God on earth today. Therefore, Protestantism does Satan's work, knowing or unknowing, consciously, unconsciously, willing or unwilling. And therefore, at least to some degree, Satan, who is also to some degree the ruler of this world, will keep his organization existing in this world. Another reason why Protestantism exists is because people are different. The paintings of a painter sell for nothing during his life, but later on, the painter is recognized as a great master. The paintings of a contemporary great master are later rejected by successive generations. The books which put a man at the top of the literary pinnacle will, 20, 30, 100 years later, be totally unread. The man who is considered a savior of his country at a certain point will later be condemned to be just a footnote in a history book. In other words, Protestantism can exist for the reason that other things exist which then go out of existence. People have different opinions on different things. And, as stated before, and this is sort of related to it, sometimes styles are important here. And people will go along with styles. But sometimes also, there seems to be a collective desire for this or for that, which later goes out of style. And this is one reason why Protestantism can still exist, is the collective mistaken evaluation of a large number of people existing in one place at one time. Another is that Protestantism provides a means for the masochist to find a socially acceptable outlet for his perversion. The Protestant who goes from door to door, like the Jehovah's Witness, getting the door slammed in his face, is a happy person if he is a masochist. He's not interested in spreading the gospel. He's interested in suffering for it. He's not interested in learning the truth of Jesus. He's interested only in receiving the title of martyr. Protestantism, in its more offensive forms, attracts that type of perverted personality who sees a value in himself only when he is rejected by the majority. It is a form of the most strange caricature of intellectual pride. The concept of the highest intelligence, the most suffering, pure person rejected by the vast majority. Since Protestantism can adapt at any particular time, since it has no basic set of structures, structural beliefs, no basic set of structural majority of morality, it can always adapt, especially in the more fringe denomination and cults and sects, so that no matter what the culture teaches, it can be on the outside. In other words, it can also provide a place for society's rebels. There, they, who by their nature simply wish to oppose whatever is in power, can find similar type people. And of course, it allows the coward to pretend that he is brave. For after all, these days, there are, in essence, no real Protestant martyrs. There are those who, there were, apparently, at times, during the wars of religion, those who actually did die for Protestant faith. But these days, that is not foreseeable. Therefore, one can become a rebel, not so much without a cause, but without danger. And that is a marvelously self-reassuring status for someone who has severe personality insecurities. So Protestantism provides a home for the rebel and the masochist. That is, for the disobedient child and the pervert. Protestantism also acts as a sedative for those who are troubled by their belief system. In a very true sense, Protestantism is a movement. It never stops. It is always progressing. By its definition, one of its own self-definitions, Protestantism is ever reforming, never reformed. Another way to put this is always wrong, never right. Another way to put this, always doubtful, never certain. A person who is uncertain, that is to say, who is troubled by his own conscience, who is troubled by the right reason that God puts in his brain, who is troubled by the fact that he is not properly at one with God, can now enter a denomination, a cult, a sect, a church, an organization, which will tell him that this is a normal situation, that none of us ever are happy on earth. None of us can ever understand God, but that it is an endless progress from one bit of darkness to another, from one bit of confusion to another. And as soon as one becomes certain of a situation which becomes upsetting, either intellectually or morally, one can now move his position by either moving to another congregation or staying with the same congregation as it changes its most basic beliefs. The constant movement seems to be definitely attract a certain personality type. In the old days, we call them people with wanderlust, or in the old cultures, they were the people who were the sailors, the men who did not want to stay in one place at one time for too long. They did not want to actually settle down, but always wanted to be seeing something new. Those who either intellectually or spiritually feel this way have found a home in Protestantism. Stay with it. It'll change. Stay with it. Its basic beliefs will change. Stay with it. Its interpretation of Scripture will change. Stay with it. Its translation of Scripture will change. Stay with it. The pastor will change. Its views of salvation will change. Its music will change. Its meeting times will change. Its view of women will change. Its view of children will change. Its view of marriage will change. This is very comforting for those type of people who never want to stay still long enough to be forced to look into a mirror. And that is another reason why Protestantism still exists. Another reason why Protestantism still exists is simply because it's been around for a while. In other words, once it survived, say, the first 100 or 200 years, it became part of a conservative institution. People accepted it simply because most people do not have a proper historical perspective. In other words, most people have a view that what was yesterday will be today and shall be also tomorrow. In other words, they accept it, so therefore, it is. They support it because they do not believe that it will go out of business. And, as is a basic law of human behavior, if we believe something to be true, whether the reality of the situation is as we believe it or not, we will function as if our belief is real. So therefore, people will function as if Protestantism must be around because it has been around, and it gives it an automatic certain amount of self-sustaining power. It is a common event in American labor relations or in American economic history to have certain businesses go out of business almost overnight, put out of business because of labor unions who would not lower their requests for increased benefits and increased wages. This is because, even though they may have been shown the balance sheets of the company, they did not believe that the corporation or the company was actually in difficult economic straits. These unions were not necessarily interested in putting their entire membership on unemployment and putting the business out of existence, but because there appears to be something, as I've stated before, basic in us, which somehow believes that what was yesterday is today and will be tomorrow. So therefore, the company will exist even though it cannot make a profit and even though it needs a profit to exist. In the same sense, Protestantism has the same conservative existential existence. And that is another reason why it still exists. Another reason why Protestantism still exists, especially in the United States, is because much of Protestantism in structure is democratic in form. Whether a democracy is a good form of government or bad is not the subject here. But what I am saying is that in Western Europe in recent years, say recent centuries, and in the United States, democracy has become an idol, unquestioned as an automatic good in and of itself. In most Protestant denominations, the congregation has a significant, if not absolute, say over who the pastor is, how much money he gets, and what he preaches. Therefore, the American who believes that democracy is a good in and of itself finds this reflected in his denomination, in his congregation. The checks and balances, as an example of the Presbyterian Church, reflect to a high degree the checks and balances of the American Constitution. All are designed to prevent radical changes from occurring. They are not, in any case, either in the United States Constitution or in Protestantism, designed to bring about absolute truth. As a matter of fact, both are designed with the acknowledgement in mind that man never achieves absolute truth. But of course, since Jesus claimed to be the truth and said that we would be led to all truth, both of these concepts are essentially anti-Christian. But Protestantism, as I stated many times, is anti-Christian. But once again, the reflection of democracy in the average everyday workings of the individual congregation are comforting to those Americans and Western Europeans and those raised under those cultural values which value democracy as automatically superior to any other form of government or operation of any institution. And that is another reason why it exists. Another reason why Protestantism exists is by default. The Holy Roman Empire, as a political institution, existed until the time of Napoleon, although for all practical purposes, it ceased to exist as an actual, viable political, cultural, or military institution at the end of the Thirty Years' War. That was approximately 170 years earlier. It existed up until that time simply because no one, or no other opponent, or no other group, or no other institution had any particular desire, one way or another, as far as the Holy Roman Empire existing. At the time of Napoleon, when the radical changes swept through Western Europe, one of the relics that was swept away was the term the Holy Roman Empire. Now, of course, the people who lived in a certain place in Germany or a certain place in Austria did not move. They did not change their lifestyle, but they no longer were members or residents of an empire, at least not the Holy Roman Empire. And the reality of the situation that there was the Austro-Hungarian Empire and the Kingdom of Prussia, etc., now was reflected by the terminology. In other words, the map makers sort of caught up with the history makers, and the terms started to reflect reality. One of the reasons the Holy Roman Empire existed that long was by default. And in that sense, Protestantism exists by default. It is most unfortunate that in roughly the last 200 years, Roman Catholicism has become a very non-militant religion. This does not mean to say that there are not individuals out there who attempt to evangelize and attempt to bring about the unification of all Christians. But the primary thrust of the Roman Catholic Church is no longer what it was in the Counter-Reformation. We no longer have Jesuits going forth into Protestant countries at the risk of their lives, attempting to convert the populace. We live in an age, pretty much, of the age of reason or the age of compliance, where such things as man's eternal destination, whether he spends it in eternal bliss or in eternal torment, somehow are not considered as important as good manners and not offending our separated brethren. That is to say, Catholics these days seldom take the aggressive approach on trying to bring Protestants under the submission of Rome. Because of this, a institution can exist for a very long time simply because no one bothers to bury the corpse. And this is another reason why Protestantism still exists. In sort of the exact opposite to one of the other reasons why Protestantism still exists, that is the attraction of the masochist and the rebel, Protestantism provides a great deal of comfort. Go into a Protestant church and see if you can find kneelers. Go into a Protestant church and see if you can find when people kneel down. Go into a Protestant church and see if you can find where you're really required to do anything that isn't sort of fun. In other words, singing pleasantly, smiling, shaking hands with your neighbor. These things are sort of required. But is there any actual commitment to a behavior pattern? Well, even if there is, one can be forgiven immediately by just one saying one is sorry. Or, of course, if one is in one of the predestination subdivisions within a congregation, then one's going to heaven anyway, no matter what one does. So, no matter how often one sins, it doesn't matter. No matter how often one does good things, it doesn't matter. So might as well relax and don't worry about giving the money to the poor. Don't worry that one's neighbor is in difficulties. In other words, by customizing its belief systems, its morality, its services, its pastors, its preaching, its books, its translation of the Bibles, and its Sunday school to match all comers, to match every new individual Protestantism provides a certain comfort, a certain ease, a certain relaxation, a certain lack of tension, which is the way man should be, that is to say, tense, when he confronts God, when he deals with God. God being the being who by his determination will determine whether man goes to heaven or hell. As scripture says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As Protestantism says, don't worry about it. It doesn't really matter. Relax. Be nice. Smile. Attend the cake sale. And believe what you want. Well, that certainly attracts some people. It doesn't ever quiet the gnawing in their soul. But it can make them believe, at least for a while, that that gnawing in their soul is due to some physical or psychological discomfort and not a spiritual problem. So therefore, Protestantism exists for this reason also. Another reason for Protestantism to exist is that it is in form of mass craziness or mass insanity. Every one of us knows, who has ever experienced it, that people behave differently in mobs, and they behave differently at concerts, and they behave differently in church than they do as individuals. And just think of the concept of concerts. Is it classical music, or is it hard, modern rock music? Or is it relaxation jazz? Or is it stirring marches? Well, people act differently there. They behave in a different fashion. They have different emotions. Their value standards get suspended, or they accept new ones for the temporary situation that they find themselves in. It is also extremely clear, if one studies history, that at various different times, so it appears, entire nations have become insane, crazy, bizarre. It was an entire nation, by and large, that accepted Adolf Hitler. It was an entire nation which accepted the iron rule of Joseph Stalin for decades. It was a nation which called back Ivan the Terrible after he left Russia, although he made Stalin look not as bad as he was. If one reads the history of the invasion of Genghis Khan, one finds numerous instances of large groups of military men fleeing from vastly inferior forces. Why? Because they had become insane. And this insanity did not exist for just short periods of time. There were myths which built upon inaccuracies, which built upon lies, which built upon beliefs, which built upon superstitions, which allowed, ultimately, a infiltrating into the human intelligence of a craziness, of a distortion of a reality, of an irrationality, which became part of a culture, part of a nation, in some cases, part of a race. Even today, one of the reasons why black Americans do not assimilate into white American culture is because of the myths which so many blacks believe as being true. They are totally without basis, but yet they affect these people's behavior. And no amount of truth and no amount of rationality seem to be able to shake them free. Is this also what occurs in Protestantism? Well, yes, in some degree, of course. This is why so many Protestants pass on lie after lie after lie after lie about Catholicism, despite the fact none of them have ever read the books which they feel are the source material. None of them have ever seen the incidences where this occurs. After all, large numbers of people behave irrationally all the time. If you drive a car, you know that most of the other drivers out there don't drive very well. And large numbers of drivers continue to drive while intoxicated. killing themselves on the road, killing other people, and risking criminal penalties, the loss of their license, and social disapproval. And large numbers of people keep voting for the wrong candidates, despite having the same amount of information that you do, and I do. Of course, we always vote for the correct ones. So therefore, it is not unusual at all to see irrational behavior in large numbers of people, even for extended period of times. And remember, of course, that Protestantism keeps changing its form of irrationality. There's a story told about Mahatma Gandhi, the Indian leader, who one time was giving an interview, and when he saw a mob go by, he broke off the interview and ran after the mob. And the interviewer called after him and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "These are my people. I must get in front and make it seem as if I am leading them." It's an interesting point, and maybe it's one of the other reasons why Protestantism still exists. Mass irrationality. This tape is essentially over at this point, and I would say that if you've obtained this tape and haven't obtained the others available from All Roads Ministries, and feel that my characterizations here have been unnecessarily harsh, that what I suggest you do is obtain the other tapes. Now, every tape which deals with Protestantism is related to this tape, so I will not single out any particular one. But I will also state that at the same time, I suggest you obtain from us the Elements of Logic and the tape on knowledge, so that you will understand what right reason is. Also, perhaps, the tape dealing with the philosophy of Immanuel Kant. Because they dispel forever any possibility that any right-thinking person can defend or explain a Protestantism as anything but an aberration in the history of man. And an aberration always needs to be explained. And that's what this tape was an effort to do, to explain why the aberration of Protestantism still exists. You may obtain any one of those other tapes or a catalog from us, which will list them and give you brief descriptions, or additional copies of this tape by writing to All Roads Ministries, you may abbreviate that ARM,
55 Palen P. Paul A-L-E-N, Road Number 38, Hopewell Junction, New York, 12533. Thank you for listening. God bless.